Berman, and this is The World. After the Charlie Hebdo massacre in Paris last January, how many of us wondered if that could happen here? Speculative, maybe even a far-fetched question then, but not today, not after what happened last night in Garland, Texas. We don't yet have all the facts, but this is what we do know. Two gunmen drove up to a building in Garland where a contest featuring cartoons of Islam's Prophet Muhammad had been taking place. They opened fire and then police shot them dead. In a moment, we'll look at this odd balance between free speech and using it to insult religion. But first, this incident has put a spotlight on the group that organized the event, the American Freedom Defense Initiative, or AFDI. They call themselves a human rights organization dedicated to free speech, religious liberty, and individual rights. But Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center calls them something else, a hate group.
They are an organization co-founded by a woman named Pam Geller. Geller is probably the most visible and flamboyant of the anti-Muslim ideologues that we have in this country.
So what seems to be the AFDI's main concern regarding Islam?
Well, Geller, in her own words, has described Islam not as a religion, but rather an extreme ideology. She's called it the most radical and extreme ideology on the face of the earth, and that there is a secret plan to make the United States part of a gigantic Muslim caliphate.
What do you make of the aim of this cartoon contest down in Texas, drawing the Prophet Muhammad? I mean, that's an expression of free speech, isn't it?
Well, sure. I defend Pamela Geller's right to be a racist and a bigot. She is allowed that under the American First Amendment, and I think that's as it should be. At the same time, let's call her what she is. She's a provocateur. She specializes in this kind of thing. She has posted cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad on her website, very ugly cartoons, in the past, and it kind of goes on from there. I mean, she really does specialize in defaming not simply radical Islamists, but Islam in general and Muslims as a whole.
So back in January, we saw the attack at the Paris magazine Charlie Hebdo, and its supporters claimed they're protected by freedom of expression in how they portray religion. Rightly so, many would argue. When you come right down to it, would you draw a distinction between the AFDI and a publication like Charlie Hebdo? Is there a difference?
Yes, I would draw a distinction.
And what is that?
The reason is this. I saw recently an analysis of what Charlie Hebdo really targeted, and a very, very tiny percentage of their cartoons and commentary, satirical commentary, have really been aimed at Muslims and Islam. Charlie Hebdo, in fact, spent much more of its energy directed at the targets that satire is usually directed to, which are essentially the rich and the powerful. Geller's organization is quite different. She, in fact, is picking on what in this country is a real minority and a minority under siege.
Charlie Hebdo has done that too, though. I mean, they're obviously insulting people for perhaps different reasons, but I mean, it is hard to draw a distinction.
Well, I think it's hard to draw. Well, look, I don't think there's much of a distinction in a sense to be drawn. And, you know, the distinction I was trying to draw between Charlie Hebdo and Geller's organization is that Charlie Hebdo doesn't really specialize in the mocking of vulnerable and small minorities, although they certainly have done that. So I just think it's a different in tone that I'm trying to describe. In terms of free speech, those are really absolute questions. And certainly in my opinion and the opinion of SPLC, Charlie Hebdo, just as Pam Geller, have the right to say these things legally. It doesn't mean they're in good taste. It doesn't mean that they're enviable things to say. It certainly doesn't mean they're right, but they do have that right under the Constitution.
That's Mark Potok with the Southern Poverty Law Center. The event that was attacked yesterday in Garland has been widely described as anti-Muslim, and it's worth noting that it took place in a part of Texas with a sizable Muslim population.
It really is tens of thousands. So I would say that if you include the entire Dallas-Fort Worth community, I don't have an exact number, but it's definitely over 100,000, well over 100,000.
Omar Suleiman is a resident scholar at the Valley Ranch Islamic Center in Irving. That's just outside Dallas. He's also an ordained imam. Suleiman says that ahead of the event in Garland, local Islamic leaders had decided not to get worked up about it.
Our community ignored it altogether. In fact, I would say that the majority of Muslims forgot that that event was even taking place. You know, I was, to be honest with you, I was actually throwing a football with my kids in the park when I got a text message, and I had even forgotten that the event was taking place yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So ignoring it was a strategic move on your part. I suppose other activists in the Dallas area also encourage people to just not go, to ignore it.
Absolutely. It's not good for our community in Dallas as a whole. We don't want this. We don't want this being fought out over here. I mean, and it's worth noting that this is not only one of the largest Muslim communities in the country, it's also a very well-integrated community. I mean, we have never had any issues of that sort in the greater community here. The people that came out to this event were about 100 or so, and the vast majority of them were not from Dallas. This is a traveling circus of sorts, and you know they try to get people out. I mean, this is exactly what they wanted, and Pamela Geller wasted no time taking to her blog to say, this is a war, this is a war.
Mr. Suleiman, I got to say, coloring the backdrop to this event is this anti-Sharia bill going through the Texas State House. And I gather there's been some controversy in Irving, Texas over that. What's going on there?
Well, sadly, I mean, this is a bill that, you know, the anti-Sharia bill has absolutely no law-bearing effect whatsoever. In the sense that no one in the community, no one in the Muslim community is suggesting in any way, shape, or form that we don't want to be held by the same set of laws that everyone else is being held by. It's more of a way to rile up, for whatever reasons, rile up a certain voter base. I guess it's just your typical example of a culture war, right? That there's a group of people here that are coming to change the way that we live and change our society and change our community. And I personally attended a few city council sessions, and I spoke on the part of the Muslim community and again on the part of many people in the general community, not just the Muslim community, that why are we inviting this bigotry and this racism in the greater scale of things?
I mean, is there really a concern in Texas among some Texans that Muslims want to introduce some kind of Quranic law to the Texas state?
What it picked up on was apparently a tribunal, which is an arbitration committee, which involves some imams, which is found within other faiths as well. The Catholics do it. The Jews do it. It's pretty common that you'll have religious arbitration, which is non-binding from a legal perspective. And that was made clear. And that was, again, their target. And that was used as a method of riling up people and a fear-mongering, that this is the proof that they're here to abuse women and stone people. And it's just absolute nonsense. So, I mean, it's not about the Sharia here. This isn't about being an anti-Sharia bill. This is about the elephant in the room, which is that, you know, this anti-religious law bill is targeting the Muslim community. And it's to stoke up the irrational fears that some people already had, that Muslims are here to take over and that they're trying to replace the Constitution with the Quran. I think it's already pretty evident in the Constitution that we're all bound by the same law.
This event and other events like it just show just how tricky and sensitive this moment is for Muslims, the whole mood right now, but also for anyone who wants to openly criticize any religion, but especially Islam. What for you does this moment mean?
You know, honestly, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening because, you know, look, if you can tell by my accent, I don't have an accent. I'm born and raised in America. I've never known any other country. I've never lived in another country. I have lived in another country, but I've never had a passport outside of this country. And we've had incidents. I'm from New Orleans. My wife is from Baton Rouge, where my wife has been shouted down on multiple occasions because she wears the headscarf and told to go back home, yelled out of a Walmart, intimidated on her way to her car. Unfortunately, I think that Muslim women in particular are like moving targets now for these Islamophobes. And just as it only takes one lone wolf, you know, who's been inspired by ISIS's material online to do something crazy, we've also seen that holds true for the other side.
Omar Suleiman, a resident scholar at the Valley Ranch Islamic Center in Irving, Texas. He's also an ordained imam. Thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.